6 years ago, I had elbow surgery. And thank the Lord I come through it. Or the Lord brought me through it. I should say the Lord. And that's how I always remember her birthday. A lot of questions that day. But you know, we still put our trust in Him.
Amen.
And when you go through situations where, you know, you're not able to take care of yourself, and when you hear some of the prognosis that other people had, you know, there was when Dr. Davis done my surgery, there was a lady that had had similar accident, similar surgery like I did, and she had waited many months after the surgery, and she didn't have nowhere near the prognosis that I did. And when you hear people that, you know, they've lost use of their arm, they have nerve damage, there's just so many, just a myriad of things that can go wrong. And I just thank the Lord every day that He's the one that He makes us whole. He brings us through. And I used to sing this song on the, you've heard me, I've used to sing this to the, just me and the air conditioning units on the roof, and I'd be singing this song. I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. Yes, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others made it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. For there's a healing, cleansing stream still flows with peace that only is redeemed can know. Yes, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I need healing, amen. That cleansing power, that powerful stream still flows. And all you have to do is just claim it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We're going to try something new tonight. That's right. That's what I said. Uh-oh. I don't know if this thing's going to work. Patience. Well, let's see here. Don't look like it's going to... I don't know where we're at, Brother Anderson. Well, that's all right. I sent it to Brother Anderson, so if it don't work... That's all right. We'll continue on anyway. Well, let's all stand. If it don't work, it don't work. Thank God one of these days there won't be technology. Yeah. So anyway, we tried this thing. Brother Anderson, I didn't tell anybody before, but Brother Anderson bought me this tablet, and I want to thank Brother Anderson. I had an older tablet, and it done a good job. Been a lot of places, done a lot. But Brother Anderson bought me a new one, and I have tried to use technology, and technology has worked against me. But that's all right. We keep persevering, we'll overcome. As the Marine motto is, adapt, improvise, overcome. So we're trying. But tonight we're going to look at in newness of spirit. Romans chapter 7, beginning verse 1. Before we read the scripture tonight, let's just speak to the author and remember all those that have needs. And so many, sometimes you hear of needs and sometimes you forget all the people that have needs, because sometimes it seems like, you know, the devil's just rampaged and he's just everywhere. He's on the war path. But it's like, Lord, the ones we can't remember, but you know who they are. We hold up all of them. The whole bride. There's so many that have really need a touch from the Lord. But He is the great physician. He is our answer. Whatever, He's our high priest. Whatever you have need of, He's here to meet your need. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads and speak to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house again, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for that blood that you shed on Calvary, Lord. And Lord, that we are able to access that. Lord, for all of our sins, Lord, our shortcomings, our failures, Lord. Lord, there's a healing stream that still flows. Yes, Lord, that we can be restored. Amen. Lord, as the song says, we can be made better than new. Right, and Father, we just thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, I think back so many years ago, Lord, a trial of my faith, Lord. But you're so gracious to me, Lord. Almost, the doctors say I've lost like 3% use of my elbow, but I can't tell it. But how wonderful it is, Lord, I'm able to raise my hand and testify of what you've done. And Lord, we see so many, everyone in this building can think back to a time, Lord, where it looked so hard or difficult, looked impossible, Lord, but you come on the scene and made a way. And Lord, there's so many that we can think of, Lord, that so many believers around the world, Father, that need a touch from you, Lord. Lord, they need an answer from you. Lord, whatever the needs are, Lord, we've heard so many, Lord, and we just, tonight, Lord, we continue to lift them up. Lord, just continue to touch them, bless them, Lord. Lord, give them the answer that they're looking for. Whatever they have need of, Lord, we just commit it to you and minister in a special way to them, Lord. And Father, tonight as we look into your scripture, Lord, we just pray that you just come help us get ourselves out of the way. Lord, you come speak to us this evening, Lord. Lord, we commit ourselves and this service into you and to your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Romans 7:1 says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Amen. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. And I just want to look at a few things tonight. And this is from the message Elijah in 1953. And Brother Branham says, "Let me tell you something, brother. America's loaded down with that Tommy rot." He said, "We've got all, they got on the programs and the radio time and everything sold as such as that because they got the sway of the world. That's right." He said, "Why the gospel of Jesus Christ ought to be preached in its power. And men and women born again and come away from such stuff as that and live for God." He said, "Let me tell you something, brother." You say, "Now, Brother Branham, you're going to teaching about morals. You just get that old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Ghost and you'll find out what God will do for you." He says, "You say, well, I have to quit smoking, Brother Branham, to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost." He said, "Listen, when springtime comes, we live here in this country. There's a lot of little old scrub oaks. You know, it is around here. It's got leaves all year round. They're hanging on. They're hanging on right now. They'll hang on till next spring. Now, when springtime comes, you don't have to go out and pick all the old leaves off. My, just let the new life come up. And the old leaf drops off." He said, "Just get down here at the altar and stay this Tuesday until God fills your heart with the Holy Ghost. And you won't have any more time for that kind of stuff. You won't have to preach against it or nothing. It'll take care of itself." And I just want to look at a few things tonight because one of the things here in the scripture, you know, Paul's writing to the Romans, and you know, he's talking about the oldness, the old man, the old things that were, and when he was writing about this, typing it as like marriage and divorce, but when he was talking about when the old man has passed away, then you come into a newness, and you don't. And so when that old man is passed away, when that old union is passed away, then you walk in newness of life. As Romans 6 tells us, we walk in newness of life. If we've been buried in baptism with Christ and rose again, just as he rose from the dead, then we raise with him, then we are to raise and walk in newness of life. And here he is speaking that when that old nature, when that old union that we had has passed away, then you know what? We are to walk in newness of life. And you know, when I was speaking in the Sunday school Sunday morning, and you know, I was thinking about what Brother, I hope Brother Ryan don't mind, but, you know, he had asked that question. And, you know, when, you know, you begin to realize that when God begins to deal with you, when you see where you've come from, when you know what you were and where you come from today, when you see, you know, everybody, well, I got to wait to a certain point. No, if you realize who you are, when you come, because, you know, somebody don't have to tell me that, you know, I had this great seed in me. I was a gene seed of God, yes, but you know what? I was lost. I was alienated from the life of God. I was doomed and on my way to hell. Now, everybody can try to stand up and, you know, throw their shoulder out, trying to pat themselves on the back, tell them about how great they were and who they came from and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I know who I was. And I knew what I needed. I needed salvation. I needed a whole change. I needed a new birth. I had to go through a change. And something had to take place in me. Because I know who the old man was. And you know, when you come from that and you understand who you were, and when you come to the place that, you know, there was a day, and I can still remember getting down the first time, Brother Wade, I can still remember getting down on my knees and praying through. Because, you know, I told God, I can't live like this anymore. There come a time where, you know what, I was tired of the old man. I'm tired of living that old thing, that old way, that trying to fight the old battle. I'm not dealing with that anymore. And because, you know what, because God, in the grace of God, had come to me and he was drawing me. I didn't go looking for him. He came looking for me. And when he came looking for me, I wanted what he had. What he was offering, I wanted to accept that. And when I began, you know, I couldn't, but you know what? There was come a day, Sister Jane, there come a day when I got down and I prayed through. But you know what? I didn't get the relief that I was looking for. I didn't get that moment. But you know, I put my confidence in God. I put my faith in him because that's what he told me to do. He told me if I would confess my sins, he said he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now that's what he said. I didn't do it. All I had to do was take him at his word. But you know what? There was a day that I received a revelation that, you know, I realized, I come to a realization that my sins were gone. Now, you know what? The devil could bring up all he wanted to and look back and let's pull up all of the old pictures and all of the old memories and let's go through all that. But you know what? Thank God, God don't remember that anymore. All of that was as far as in the sea of forgetfulness. As the song says, as far as darkness is from dawn. Why? Because all of that was gone from me. I didn't have to deal with it. But you know what? I still had to battle that same old devil. That same old nature was still there. But praise God, I did receive one thing. I did know that my sins were forgiven. But you know what? That started me on my journey. And you know what? I could walk in newness of light and newness of spirit. Why? Because you know what? I didn't have to worry about that. Now, I still fought the same. I still had the same desires. I still fought the same devils. I still thought about those things. But you know what? I was starting my journey. I had a journey to begin. And you know what? I start. And you know, the thing is, you know, everybody's looking for a deliverance. Well, you know what? Deliverance will come. But you know, sometimes the problem is we don't want to be separate from the devil. We don't want to be separate from the things of the world. We don't want to be separate from all the carnal things that we had, that we've toted around for so long. But sometimes that's what it takes. You've got to make a conscious effort. You've got to step forward and say, listen, I'm not going to there anymore. You know, Like I was telling you, you know, with music, you know, country music, you know, I got rid of all the CDs, everything that I had. Yeah. Why? Because you know, I was getting ready. I had that. That was my life. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was y'all don't know how much I was absorbed in country music. And so, you know, I mean, Richard can tell you, I mean, I knew songwriters, I knew all kinds of artists, it was just like this, I was this encyclopedia. I mean, I was everything about it. And, you know, it was just, everything just fascinated me. Time to get rid of all that. Amen. You know, all the memorabilia, get rid of the shirts, the CDs, posters, you know, everything that you, you got to get rid of all that. Because you can't have a little bit here and a little stick it in the closet and try to hang on to it. No, it's time to get rid of all that. Amen. You don't need any of that. All that stuff from your past life's got to go. Amen. File 13, trash, you know. Amen. Sell it, whatever, get rid of it. Amen. Because you know what? You still have the desire, but the thing is you got to get rid of all that.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
You know, I had a friend of mine, his brother, he was such an alcoholic. And, you know, he said he'd go to church and he'd pray through and he'd come home and he'd throw all his alcohol away. And he said, well, I got deliverance. And he said, then next thing you know, he'd be sneaking out back. He'd be trying to get what he could find in the trash can and get it out. Or he's going back to the store to buy some more. Why? And, you know, because it's like, well, I'm trying to get rid of it. Well, that's good. But you know what? You got to realize I don't have deliverance. That devil's still there. But you still got to try to get rid of that. Still fight that battle. And you know what? If you fall, well, you know what? I just didn't start right. I just wasn't called to this because I can't overcome it. But you know what? If you've come to the state of justification and and the Lord begins to deal with you in sanctification, you know, you've still got to struggle. You still got to fight. And if you fall down, you know what? You fall down. And what I was thinking of that quote on the way to church tonight. You know, Brother Branham was talking about, he says it several times, but you know, he says, if I fail or if I sin, he said, let me rise and try again. He said, forgive me, Lord, and try me one more time. What if, you know, if you fall down, well, then you know what? It's still the grace of God that started you on your journey. It's this grace of God that's keeping you on your journey. And, you know, you just can't quit just because you fall down, just because you have a shortcoming. Hey, it's on, you know, because it's everybody, even after you're born again, you know what? You're still going to fall. You're still going to commit sin. You're still going to have problems. And you know, you're still going all the way this struggle. You know what? You still got to fight. But you know what? Because when you start on that journey, then you say, well, I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not where I want to be. Well, that's true. But you know what? Praise God, you're not where you used to be because you've actually started on this journey. You've actually started moving forward. Then you can say, well, praise God, because now you're in the fight. Now you're pushing forward. And if you come to this place and praise God, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep fighting. If I fail, then you know what? I'm going to stay in the Word and I'm going to eat on the Word and I'm going to continue to feast on it until it becomes something inside of me that I can overcome with. Not just some idea, but you know, you still got to fight. You just can't give up. And you keep fighting. And one of these days, you know what? Because now some people have this happen to them. You know what? Everything that they, all of a sudden, everything goes. They're just over, you know. And you know what? Some of us, it's one thing at a time. You know, people give up smoking, and you know what? Or they give up drinking, they can't give up smoking. They have this problem, and they have that problem. And they're trying to get over this, and they're trying to get over that. But you know what? It's still the work of the Holy Ghost. And as you begin, all of a sudden, you know what? You see, the work is taking place. Amen. And then when you stop to say, you know what? I've overcome this. Why? Because by the grace of God, I've overcome. Well, you know what? You continue to overcome. But you just can't stop because the devil's going to say, see, you thought you had that. You thought you had the victory. You thought you had the victory. Thought you had the victory. But you know what? You keep fighting. Why? Because you just got to keep plugging and pressing forward. So what if you fall down? Get up. Keep going. Why? Because you start to say, well, you know what, devil, you had me on this and I've overcome. And you had me on that and I've overcome. And I've had this and I've overcome. You see all the things that you can't hold me back on anymore? Why? Because the Lord has brought you this far. And all of a sudden, you know what, you realize, you know what, you've come to the place that you've come to sanctification. And while you can see the Holy Ghost has done a work in you. And you begin to change. But you know what, you can't stop there. When you've laid all these things down and you realize, you know what, you're feasting on the Word. And you realize that you've come into this place. And you know, you have a desire for the Word and you keep going forward. But you know what, you can't stop there. Why? Because the devil wants you to get to that place where you get into a lull and you think you're okay. And hey, I'm doing pretty good. Well, you know what, that's when you become religious. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to become religious. But you've not come to the place where you've actually, because you've been cleaned and been set aside for service, but you've not been put in service. You've not come to the place where you've received the Holy Ghost. And if you've got to come to the place, you've got to keep pressing forward until you step into that place where the Holy Ghost takes up residence in you. When you become, when you realize there's a place, when you realize the Holy Ghost is inside of you, that the Holy Ghost is living in you. When you come to that place, well, you know what? That don't solve all your problems. Because you know what? As soon as you receive the Holy Ghost, tell me one person, when after you receive the Holy Ghost, the devil comes and tells you, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. You think you did. You're a make-believer. What's he going to do? You ain't got it. You ain't got it. He's going to fight you all the way. And that's his job. You know, we have a very good adversary. But you know what? You've got to press in. You've got to keep fighting. You know, just because you say, well, I'm born again. Well, you know, now the battle really starts. Now you really got to fight on your hands. You got to keep fighting. You know, everybody, well, you know, I've reached this stage. And we got a long way to go. But you just got to keep fighting fight the devil all the way. You don't let him have a foothold in anything. You just keep going. But like Brother Bram said, see, when you come to this place, he says, will I have to give up all these things? No. You don't have to give up these things. Don't try to give it up. Let the Holy Ghost do the work. Many times, you know, because people, they have this issue. Well, I don't know how I'm going to overcome. Because the devil just beats you down sometimes. And I've seen young people go through that. And you know, you get so ashamed of the things that you've done. And you know what? You'll allow the devil to hold you back. You'll stop your progress. It'll stop your journey because you're so bound by what the devil tells you to do. Well, you know, the thing is expose him. Because that's the only thing. The devil doesn't like to be exposed. And you know what? And so many people, you know, they fight so many spirits and different things in their life, and they allow the devil to stop them right there. Well, let me tell you something. If you are, especially if you go to this church, if you call this your home church, let me tell you something. I want you to know it from my voice. And the amens from this congregation. Let me tell you, if you've got a problem, I don't care what your problem is. You know what? We're always behind you. We're always praying for you. We're always going to be there for you. There's not anybody here that thinks somebody is better than somebody else. There ain't no big I's and little U's in this church. Let me tell you something. If you think, well, I'm all alone, let me tell you, you ain't all alone. You know what? You might be alone, but you ain't lonely. But the devil will put that in your mind that you know I'm so this and I'm so that. No, listen. If you're on your journey, let me tell you something. You're a child of God.
You know what? We claim everybody. You know what? If you're pressing the battle, you know what? We're pressing the battle with you. All you got to do is say, listen, I got a problem, Brother George. I got a problem. Well, you know what? All of us have got problems. But you know what? None of us quit. Now, the only time we allow Satan to have the victory is when we quit. When we start to listen to the devil, what he tells us, if we sit around and just contemplate all that, you know, I was telling Sister June Sunday, it's like, you know, he is the liar and he is the father of lies. But you know what? We will sit and we will listen to what he tells us. And the truth is not even in him. But you know what? We will sit down and contemplate exactly what he tells us. We waste our time listening to him. When he begins to talk to you, you know what? That he's a liar and the truth is not in him. But you know what? We'll say, well, you know, I might be right. We ain't got time for that. We ain't got time for none of that. Get rid of all that. Because you know what? There's no virtue in any of that. There's no strength in any of that. You got nothing to... Nope. Got no time for that. Contemplate that. Cast down all of Satan's reasonings. All things that he says. And just look to the Word. This is from the message, The Faith of Abraham. Brother Branham's speaking. He says, so when he stepped out on God's promise, he said, watch what happened. God said, Abraham, he said, oh my... Listen to this, Abraham, just look as far west as you can look, just as far east, north, and south. It's all yours. It's all yours. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, for they shall inherit the earth. Abraham's seed, oh my. He said, then Abraham, he said, don't just stand and look at it. Walk through it. It's yours. He said, it's yours. That's why I can't understand Christians. Accept Christ. When I accepted Christ, I began to dig into the Bible, see what I had, and look through it. He said, if somebody give me a house, I'd examine every inch of it. I'd go through the pantry, down in the cellar, up in the attic. He said, I'd find out what I had. When I become a Christian, I want to know what I got, what I'm an heir to, what was given to me. Now listen, he says, some of you just step in the door and say, uh-huh, it's awful nice. Somebody lived back there, and I bet that'd be a pretty place there. Uh-huh, it's yours. Every promise is yours. I want to know what I got. He said, it's a big arcade. If somebody would give me a big arcade, I'd start messing around, looked on every shelf, see what I got. He said, look it over, pick this up, go all the way through it. It's mine. I was baptized in it. So I guess it belongs to me. He said, I was baptized by the Holy Ghost. Same one that was upon Abraham. Baptized me into the body. He said, I'm heir of every one of the promises. If somebody looks just a little bit high, if something looks just a little bit high, I'd go get me a step ladder and get on it and examine it. See what it looks like. That's the way. If divine healing seems to be a little out of my reach, I'd get on my knees. That's Jacob's ladder. And climb right up in prayer till I could find out what it's all about. See what I own. It's mine. It's yours. It's all of you's if you believe it. So if we are children of God, and we've received this by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then that's what he says. Then us, we see this as ours, then we've received it just like Abraham. Abraham, by grace, Abraham received a promise. He was given the promise, but you know what? He had to believe it. And you know what he began to do? He began to walk in his promise. When he was a stranger. When it wasn't his, but God had promised it to him. And he began to walk, and he began to look everywhere. Well, God told him, look all around, Abraham. Look, everywhere you see is yours. All this belongs to you. And he began to walk throughout all that. You know what? Nobody else saw that. But you know, Abraham knew who he was. And he began to walk all throughout that land. And he says, see, if you are a child of God, then you walk into that. Because all of that is yours. And if it's been given to you, because if you've come into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all of this belongs to you. Well, then, let me tell you something. You know what? If God is if He justified you, then you know what? The promise in the Scripture is that sanctification is yours. You know what? You don't have to plead and beg to come to that. Why? Because God wants you to walk in faith. God wants you to trust in Him and believe. You know what? Because that's what the Scripture says. Because people, how many times have people come to the place and, you know, they're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you see, and you stop and ask them, well, what's the first thing you got to do? What does the Scripture say? Repent. Do you know what true repentance is? Have you come to the place where you've repented? And so people want the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they don't even know what repentance is, because when you begin to speak about repentance, people are lost. You know, it's like you're speaking another language. And you see, but he said, if you repent and be baptized, he said, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But all of this is a promise. And so you just continue to walk in that. Well, you know what? You come to this, if you come through that, then you know what? If you receive this, then you know what? The promise is unto you. Then when you come in there, all the promises in all the Scriptures are mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Well, then the question is, are you actually going to claim it, or are you going to let the devil squat on your land? He said, you was baptized by the grace of God into this great big arcade that's got every redemptive blessing in it. Everything Jesus died for is right here in the body of Christ. Healing, salvation, joy, peace, all these things belong to you. It's yours. He said, let the devil say, oh, don't you do it. Don't you do it. That's that old nasty porter at the door. Don't you believe in that. Walk right on in. It's yours. You got a pass. You got an abstract deed on the place. If sickness dwells in there, you got an abstract deed. If you went home tonight, and what if there's an enemy sitting in your house, and the enemy said, now wait a minute, this house is built for human being. It's mine just as much as it is your house. I'm just as much human as you are. You walk right down to the courts and get your abstract deed and show him, this is my property. It belongs to me. Well, he said, well, yes, but I'm just as much human as you are. He said, if he won't listen, you can go get the law, and the law will throw him out. When you serve warning on the devil that he's got his nasty camped out self on God's property, he said, whew, yes. If he don't want to get out, just call on the authorities of heaven, God's law agent, the Holy Ghost, he will throw him out. Yes, sir, it's your property. Every divine promise in the Bible belongs to every Christian. You know, when you go to court, and you know, I spoke on that before. You know, when you go to court, you know, you don't have to go in there and plead before the judge. You know, when you go to court and you have a case, and you have your attorney that goes in, you know, he's not up there screaming and crying and telling a sob story. He says, listen, this person has legal standing in this court because as a resident of the state of Georgia, and they live in a certain county or whatever, and this is the law, then what does he do? He goes in there and tells them, listen, this is this person's legal standing because they have this abstract title deed. They have this. They have the legal right to this. This is their standing. And the law says, so he goes back to the law and says, the law says because they are a child of God and they have promise to this, then he doesn't have legal standing here. When you go to court, when you go to court to bring you plead your case, then all you're doing is, hey, listen, I have a right to be here, and this is the facts of the case, and this is what the law says, and then the judge is to hear both sides of the argument. But you know, when you go in there and you show him what you've got, then you know what? He's supposed to answer the, his verdict is supposed to, because he's supposed to answer the question, and his verdict is supposed to come forth and say, yes, you have the legal right to this. It belongs to you, and he's got to go. And it's the same way. You don't have to plead and beg and scream. Why? Because God wants to give you what is yours, what he's promised to you. But you know, the problem is he wants us to believe him. He wants us to have faith in him and trust him that it's going to take place. Many times, you know, people have, you know, because the devil wants us to get to a place where we just so worried and fret and get upset about things. But you know, that's not the life of a Christian. You know, you just hold on and believe. As you know, in the scripture, we know you think about the ones from the Old Testament, different ones, and you know, you think about what they done. Daniel there praying. When the decree came, the law came and said, listen, if you don't do what we tell you to do, if you're not going to bow down and worship our image that we built, if you're not going to do these things, then guess what? We've got a place for you. We're going to get rid of you. There's a death sentence that hangs over your head. But you know what? You didn't see what Daniel up there, Lord, what am I going to do now? You know what? He had faith in God. He had a testimony that, you know what, it didn't matter what was going to take place. He was going to trust God when he walked out there, that he was going to trust God. What? Because, hey, y'all want to kill me? That's fine. Y'all want to exact your judgment? Then go ahead. But you know, I've got confidence in God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to go forth and they throw up in the windows and pray and show everybody, you know what, I'm not afraid. I've got, because I serve a living God. I serve the living God. I serve the high, the all-powerful God. And you know what? If I die, I die. But you know what? I'm still going to trust God. I'm still going to stand, and I'm still going to proclaim that who God is and who I am. He stood up there, I'm going to trust God. And when they went out there to throw him in the lion's den, you know, he didn't worry about it. But you know what? Because he put his confidence in God and he stood up for God. You know what? God come on the scene for him. So many times when the devil comes against us and he wants to, lots of times, like Brother Bram said, God puts things in your life. Things happen for to see what you're going to do. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to respond to it? See, you can just get up there and see if you get to a place where you just, well, I don't know, you're going to cower down. See, God can't trust people like that. He wants to find out if you're going to go forth. You know, so many times we think about the things that we the scripture tells us about, the different ones that are in the scripture. You know, you think about Daniel going into a lion's den and different ones. And, you know, how many people would be standing and, you know, you're on a boat in the middle of a storm. And I mean, the waves are crashing all around. You know, you can't see anything. Maybe they felt like they were going to drown in all of the midst of all of that. And here's an all this storm. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. And here they are coming walking. You know, the boat is about to sink. They got no hopes. They're going down. Because that was the devil's job. He was going to sink that boat. That's what he was after. But Jesus came walking on the water. And the rest of them were, you know, here they are. They're already afraid because they think they're going to sink. They think the boat's going to sink. Then they see a ghost and they start freaking out even more. Here they are. But you know what? Peter gets this idea. He said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. Well, I can tell you right now, that wouldn't be me. You know, because here, you know, I might be sinking in this boat, but at least I got something underneath me. I mean, how many people, you know, I'm just going to hop out of this boat in a raging storm. But you know what? There was something about Peter that when he saw Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. And he's like, he said, because he began to speak to him. Be not afraid. It's I. Amen. It's me. I'm here. Amen. In the midst of this raging storm. Amen. And you know what? And Peter had confidence in Jesus when he saw that. He said, Lord, if that be you, then bid me to come. And he said, come. And he climbed out of a boat, out into the raging storm. He wasn't walking out on the nice, smooth lake. He's getting out in the water. But you know what? If he had confidence in Jesus being able to do that, then you know what? I can do the same thing. Because he spoke to me and said, come. He had confidence in that he could do the exact same thing. He stepped out on that boat. And you know what? He had one way of doing it. He had to keep his eyes on Jesus. And if he could keep his eyes on Jesus, you know, he was able to walk. He was able to do the impossible. But he kept his eyes on Christ the whole time. But you know what? He got to the point where he got his eyes off. Oh, then, you know, he got a little, maybe a little bit elated. You know, he's out there like, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Then all of a sudden, instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, he got into his mind and started thinking, what am I standing on? Then he starts looking at the waves. Like, I don't know if I should be here. And then he starts sinking. And instead of staying and thinking, you know what? Jesus is doing it. And Jesus told me to come. And if I can just keep my eyes on him and keep following the words, you know, I keep doing that. Yeah, right. And then all of a sudden, when he got to the point where he got looking all around and he got afraid, he started sinking. And Jesus come and pulled him out of the water and said, Peter, why'd you doubt? Right, right. Look, you are overcoming. And took him right back to the ship and got in. And then he spoke to the storm and calmed the waters. Yeah, and the storm went away. Yeah, that's right. See, If we have that same faith, that we can do the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. If you can trust him, that he is, because he's the same one that called Peter when he was down on the sea on the shore of Galilee, and he called Peter to follow him and brought him all that way. And so all the faults and failures that Peter had, all the problems that Peter had, you know what? God still kept dealing with him. Jesus kept speaking to him. You know, he told him, he said, he knew what Peter was going to do. He knew Peter was going to fall and have problems. When he had such love for the Lord that he was standing out there and Jesus is telling him, listen, Peter, it's just going to be me. I'm going through all this. I've got to die, and I'm going to be alone. And nobody's going to be with me. I got to bear this. I got to bear all this by myself. Alone, Lord, Lord, let me tell you what, I'm going to be right there with you the whole time. I'm on your six the whole time. I got you. No, Peter, let me tell you. Can you imagine when he stood there and said, Lord, everybody else will forsake you, but I'm going to be right there with you. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Listen, you're going to deny me. But you know what? Jesus, when he went through all of that and he died and he rose again and he come back and he told Mary and them, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell Peter that I've risen and to meet me in Jerusalem. Come meet me. I'm coming to see you. Why? Because he wanted Peter to know, listen, I know who you are, and I know your faults and failures, but you know, I want you to know I still love you.
Yep. Right, right.
I still think about you. Why? Because I died for you. You know, the one that he had all of the issues with, Peter, had to talk to Peter all the time. He's in the upper room, you know, as the scripture was reading Sunday, you know, here he's in the upper room and he's speaking to the disciples and he's going to wash their feet. And Peter's like, you ain't washing mine. You know, the rest of them, he can wash their feet, but he's the one that he's got to be contentious. But listen, Peter, I'm doing something that you'll understand later. You may not understand this right now. Because listen, I'm just washing your feet because this is an example that I'm doing. But listen, one of these days you're going to understand because, well, Lord, wash my hands and my feet. Wash me all over, Lord. That time comes. But I'm doing something right now that you'll understand later. But listen, because there's coming a time you will be clean. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is coming. You're going to go through that process, but I'm showing you something. Listen, now, because here I am, your master and Lord, and I'm showing you how to be a servant. Right? Because that's your goal, to be a servant. And so when later on, then Peter could come back and look at the life that Jesus lived and know, I am a servant because of the things that I've seen. God has brought me to this place, but I want you to understand what I've been through. I want you to understand the grace of God. Because if Peter went out there and began to talk to the people, he said, listen, he said, when you come through all this, Peter, strengthen the brethren. Why? Because when everybody else is at it, well, brother Peter, you know what? I'm struggling. I went through this and I went through that. I got a story for you. Listen, y'all want to know what grace is? I denied the Lord. This is grace. You want to know what grace is? I'm all the time trying to contend with the Lord. But you know what? This is grace. When you want to know what grace is, just like when he calls Paul and he comes and brings Paul and Paul becomes out there and he talks about being the prisoner of the Lord and he begins to talk about being the grace of God and he begins to talk about the grace. Why? Because he's standing there talking about, I received, look what I was. I was a blasphemer. I was the one that instructed people to put the Christians to death. I stood there and held their coats while they were stoning Stephen. And you know, here, this is the grace of God that he called me to preach the unsearchable riches unto the Gentiles. When I was the one that was standing there watching Christians die. And say, but this is the grace of God. When you think you're lost and you're alienated and all that, I'm going to tell you what the grace of God is. And say, when we look at when our lives and we say, well, I've fallen. But you know what? There's grace that abounds more than you can comprehend. And that's what God wants you to see. There's grace. If you can see the grace of God and all the things that have taken place, God knew everything that you would do, all your faults, all your failures, all your problems. God knew all of that. There's nothing that's going to that God was surprised about. You know, Brother Bob always talks about me being in like genealogy. But you know, when you think about your genealogy, you know, Brother Bram said, you know, for you to get here, he had to breed, you know, this one come to this one and all this. You know, when you think about it, if you just try to. You start to think about some of this stuff sometimes. If you count your parents as one generation back, and then your grandparents be two generations back, and your great grandparents three. If you go back 10 generations, which is your eighth great grandparents, do you know how many of your eighth great grandparents you have? If you went back 10 generations, you know how many eighth great grandparents you have? You have 1,024. There was 1,024 people that had to get together. When you start to think about that, for you to be who you are today, you think about when you go back 12 generations. I think they say there's 4,096 ancestors in that generation. Over 4,000. Those 4,000, over 4,000 people had to come together. And in the mind of God, He knew every one of them was going to come. Because every one of them had to, you know, and you think about all of the, I think about my grandfather. My paternal grandfather served in World War II under Patton. One time he landed on the beach. They come through Sicily into France. He hit the beach. It was like 54 of them. There's only two survived, him and another man. He was in the combat engineers. He built bridges. The Germans bombed it twice. They were rebuilding it the third time. They were carrying a big steel plate that took six men to carry. They got hit. All five of the other men that he was carrying that plate with died. He was the only one that survived. He stood there and told us as kids, he said, "You don't know what the supernatural is?" He said, I can be a little kid. I can still remember being a little kid sitting there and him talking about, he said, the angel of the Lord had to be standing in front of me. He said, because I could hear the bullets going that direction and that direction. But they didn't hit me. When you see those type things, why? Because you know what? We had to come into existence. And you think about all of your ancestors that traveled on boats for months all across the oceans. And you think about all the ones that come from all around the world and all the things that they had to go through. All the suffering, the heartaches, all of the problems. And you know what? All of that had to take place all the way down for you to be who you are.
That's right.
And you think, well, you know what? I'm just this little insignificant blip on the screen. And, you know, God don't know where I'm at. You know what? God knew all that. And He got you all the way down through here because you were one of His. And you come all this way to be manifested in this hour. And you've come to all of that. All the things you think about, how all that come about. For God to realize, to manifest what He wanted to in this hour. For you to come into existence. Because you are what God had in His mind. And through the fall, you know, all those attributes had to be displayed. Had to be expressed. And you know what? All that had to take place.
Sure,
you know, God, you know, sometimes we think, well, it's just, you know, like the world wants to think, you know, it's just like rolling the dice.
Yeah.
You know, it's just some haphazard, something happened. No, when you start to see what God's done all this way.
Amen.
When God, what God has done all this way. To bring you to this place. And He's brought you to the place where He's made Himself known unto you. He brought you because there was a day that the Word passed your way. And He made Himself known to you. And He's filled you with the Holy Ghost. And He's brought you into this. And He wants you to feast on this. Then, you know, it's a sad thing if we don't walk, as the Scripture says, if we don't walk in newness of spirit, if we don't walk in the newness of life, if we don't walk a new way to walk and realize, hey, all this is, God's done all this for me. And then when we don't realize who where God's brought us from and all the things that's taken place, and then we don't have faith to heal a toothache. and not realize what God's done for us. That God has brought us all this way. If he done all that he could do, he done the very best, and give his life. If he's done that, then you know what? Then we can accept and reap the benefits of that. So this is from trying to do God a service. And Brother Bram says, but one great thing again about God, he has not left us not without knowing what's the truth and how to do it. He wouldn't be just to punish us for doing something that we didn't know how it was going to be done, then let us stumble into something. He is not that kind of God. He's a God that speaks the word and expects his children to believe it. And therefore, he knows what's best and when to do it and how to do it. He said, we have our ideas of it, but he knows. So when things come our way, see, God knows what to take place and how it's going to take place. All things are going to happen. He said, well, I don't know what to do. Well, you know, that's what the word is for. The word has come to bring us to the place. We know how to do it. We know exactly where we are and who we are. And so, going back to the previous one, when he was talking about, when you are a child of God, and you, Brother Bram was talking about Satan being a squatter. When he's squatting on your land, he said, you can go to court. You go to court, and you, through the Holy Ghost, he said, he is God's law enforcement agent. He will force him off the land. He will force him out. And so Brother Bram says, and the great thing about this is he doesn't leave us to a place where we don't know how to do that. Because we've been given the legal right to force him out. And guess what? He's also given us the way to show us how to do that. How you overcome. Why? Because he's the same one. He shows you how to come through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then when you get it born into the body, then he shows you how to continue on. Right, right. Then when you go up the stature of a perfect man, what? It's him showing you how to do that. When you need healing, he shows you that how you can overcome him. Why? Because he's giving you the word to show you how to do that. So all these things, see, he shows you how to do that. Brother says, then if he set up a system that what he's going to do and didn't tell us what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, then we stumbling at it would be justified in our stumblings and trying to do something. Each one would be justified, but there's only one way, and that is his word. So he's given us the word to show us the things that we have to do and how to do it, because the word will instruct you how to do the things. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit, if it's on the inside of you, you desire the word. Then if you desire the word, then you know what? It's going to draw you to the word. All the way through your journey, he's drawing you to the word. And the thing is when you say, well, Lord, I don't know how to do this, or I got a question about this or whatever, then what is he doing? He's going to draw you into the word, and you're going to begin to feed on the word, and he'll begin to deal with you in the areas that pertain to your life. How many times have you sat in the truck or the car and you go down the road, you're sitting at home, you think about something and you got a question about something, and all of a sudden somebody comes to church and Brother Wade gets behind the pulpit and he begins to talk about something, and maybe sometimes he gets off his notes and all of a sudden he's off somewhere else talking about something, but all of a sudden everybody's like, well, why is he over there? Well, you know what? He's dealing with somebody. There may be somebody listening in, and all of a sudden the Lord's leading him a certain way that he begins to deal with a certain thing, and all of a sudden somebody's getting their answer. How many times have you come to church and all of a sudden nobody knows what's going on? Nobody knows what you think, but all of a sudden when the preacher begins to speak, or some brother comes up here and starts doing Sunday school or whatever, all of a sudden the things that they say is right down your alley, right down your line. Everything's like, hey, that's exactly for me. Why? Because God knows what you have need of. And when we begin to meditate on them, the Lord begins to deal with the things that we're looking for. It's in the Word. And he begins to feed us on the word, the things that we have need of.
Amen.
So Brother Bram was speaking of, you know, growing. He's talking about growing trees. And, you know, when you plant the seed in the ground. See, when you plant the seed, talking about the word of God, when the seed goes in the ground, it goes in the ground. You got to plant it and you got to water it. You see, when those things take place, and he says, see, go to the next one, brothers. But he says, see, he said, well, it has to drink more than its portion.
Yep.
It has to drink and drink so much till it pushes it out.
Yep.
Until it pushes out. So you got to take in all that you can.
Amen.
For your situation. He said it begins to push out limbs. See, when that seed is planted, when the word of God is planted inside of you, then you keep watering it, you keep feeding it, because then all of a sudden it's going to come forth. Just like Brother Wade was talking about, you know, if you put a seed in the ground, then you know what? You need to have the right nutrients in the ground, because you can put a seed in the ground and pour soil, but if you don't put any nutrients in there, you can water it from now to, and it's not ever going to come. It's not ever going to come up, and it's not ever going to come to the fruition that it needs. It never comes to its full potential. Why? Because the nutrients aren't there. But see, that's the reason when it comes our responsibility to prepare the ground, so when the word of God goes forth, then we can receive it, that it can grow.
Amen.
He said, see, it pushes out limbs, it pushes out leaves, it pushes out apples. He said, it's in it, but it has to keep drinking. He said, and every word of God is a seed, and that seed can be planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ. The believer has to drink beyond his imagination, drink and push out. Push out everything you have need of, because it's in you when you receive Christ. And we are planted together in Christ, and he is the inexhaustible fountain of life. And he said, don't never be afraid to ask big things. God wants you to ask big things. He don't want you to be little, petty, and juvenile. He wants you to ask big things that your joys may be full. And then he begins to tell the story about the fish being in the water, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean, and worrying about how much water he drinks, and wonder if he's going to have enough. He's going to survive, because, you know, and talks about the mouse in Egypt and the garners. And wondering if we're going to have enough.
Yeah.
Well, we might just need to eat two of these. We got to save up. We don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And he begins to talk about how inexhaustible the ocean was. And Brother Ram talking about the rat in the garner. And he said, if there had been 100,000 rats that size, they'd never be able to eat it up. And how many times could we multiply? You could never exhaust God in his powers and his mercies to his children. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Just drink and drink and drink and drink. This is from the message, What Dost Thou Hear? And he's talking about Elijah and the still small voice. He said, let's get that still small voice that's something that puts the cream in the life. That's something that though you speak with tongues of men and angels and have not that, you're nothing. Though you can prophesy and speak with tongues and show signs and wonders and work miracles and do great signs, but if that little small voice isn't there, you're nothing, says the scripture. That's what we're listening for now. We've had the thunders, we've had the fire, we've had the rushing winds and the earthquakes, but God send us the still small voice. That's what we need.
Amen.
And he says, you can never exhaust God's love and mercy to you. You say, well, I hate to bother you so much, Father. He wants you to bother that way. He does. Don't ever think that you could ever ask too much of God. I believe the scriptures. He said, you have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. He wants us to ask and believe that our joys would be full. He wants you to ask abundantly. Ask for big things. Don't limit your faith to some little mustard seed.
Yeah.
He says, get on out here to some other kind of faith and move out in big things. He said, big things is just as easy to receive as little things. You just have to believe, that's all. And if you got faith, just know exactly how to use it, and it'll be all right. You can put it right to work, and it'll be fine. And he said, could you imagine talking about exhausting God's love and power and beneficiaries for you? Could you imagine the little bitty fish long way?
Yeah.
Talking about that little fish again,
yeah,
being out there in the middle of the ocean. He said, I better consider this thing. I better drink this water sparingly because I might run out someday. Little fish about that big in the middle of the ocean. He said, well, that could easily be done more easier than you could ask too much of God. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Whatever you have need of, ask him and believe it. He provided it in the redemptive blessings when he died at Calvary and gave a promise to you for everything you have need of while you're in the journey. It's yours, and if you'll ask and believe, that's right. And he begins to talk about that little mouse again. See, when he talks about being that little mouse down there, and he says, see, that's the way people act as Christians. Get up of a morning. God bless my family today and keep us close to you. Amen. Well, I've done my religion for the day. Oh, I just like to lay down really and drink, don't you? And just get a real spiritual gastronomical jubilee and just drink till you just can't drink no more. Just continue to drink. And this is from the message, Why Doest Thou Here? And I wanted to get to this. And he begins to talk about that still small voice again. See, if we get back to that still small voice that he spoke to us about. And that's the state, because it's the same voice that started you on your journey. It's the same voice that speaks to you all the way through. And it's the same voice. And he's talking about, you know, if you see these things and understand, God wants you to ask big things. Don't ask for just little things, but the big things. And he says, see, great things are quiet things. Did you know that, friends? Listen, the sun, now listen to this. The sun, which gives life on the earth to every little living thing and body life, plant life, tree life, and whatever, it brings forth life. The sun does. And he says, and it can draw 1 million gallons of water from the earth and make less noise than we can get a bucket full of out of a pump. See, it's big things. Quiet things are big things. Did you ever hear the world turning? Did you ever hear the planets as they pass through the orbit? Did you ever hear one? That's the big things. Did you ever hear the sunrise? When we begin to look at the big things. See, God wants us to ask for the big things. If you have a need, I don't care how big it is, God wants you to ask. You know, Brother Bram said, God has a problem with you not asking. When you're a child of his and you have a need and you don't ask him. And you don't pour your heart out to God, then God has a problem with that. And when you can't say, Lord, I'm gonna put my trust in you. No matter what, I put my trust in you. I got my confidence in you.
Amen.
And you know the thing is when God's on the scene, God does miracles, and you know what? You never see it.
Right.
You know, because God wants you to ask.
Yep.
You know, I tell everybody all the time, I had, when I worked for Heating and Air Company before I work where I do now, you know, we lost the keys to the truck. Everybody's heard that story about, you know, we lost the truck keys. And man, let me tell you what, we went high and low and everywhere looking for them. We had to have those keys for that truck. We got one set of keys and they were gone. We went through the dumpster and everything else. We went looking everywhere. Because when I drove the van back to the shop, I backed it in the parking place, and I usually carried the keys into the shop, and I laid them on the desk in there so if anybody needed them, they could get in there. And man, those keys were gone. It's like, we need those keys.
Yeah.
Me and a buddy of mine, we was digging through everything, praying and looking, and we couldn't find them. And I went home. And, you know, I was praying over, I was like, Lord, I don't know where those keys are. I don't know where they're at. And I, like, we need those keys, Lord. And I prayed and prayed. And I went to bed. And I didn't sleep very good that night. But I, in the midst of that, that night I had a dream. And Brother Ron Spencer came to me in a dream. And I, as soon as I saw Brother Ron, I told him, Brother Ron, I don't know where those keys are. We need them. And Brother Ron said, don't worry, Brother Aaron. The Lord knows where they're at. He'll take care of it. You know, Brother Ron, he's never lost for, you know, he's always positive. It don't matter what's going on. I ain't never seen Brother Ron down or whatever. And you know, he come, don't you worry. The Lord will take care of it. He knows where those keys are. Well, I went to work the next day and, you know, we had a little barbecue grill out beside the, right out beside the door, the shop door. And we had the trash cans and had a barbecue grill like sometimes we cooked on. And I was heading into the shop. And my boss came by and he said, we found the keys. Really? Yeah. He said they were laying on top of that black barbecue grill when I got up this morning, when I got here this morning. I had a set of black car, you know, I don't have my keys with me. But anyway, we had a door opener, the remote, and had keys. And it had an orange number one about that big on the keychain. That was all that was on there. Sitting on top of a solid black barbecue grill. And we walked in now that door multiple times. And that orange number one was laying on top. That's the first thing he saw, that orange number one laying on top of that barbecue grill. We walked high and low. We walked everywhere. But you know what? The Lord told me not to worry. I don't know how it got there. It's not my job to know. But I know the Lord put them there. I don't know where they come from, but you know what? The next morning, they were there. When I got laid off from that job, I was sitting at home in front of the computer. We was getting ready to go to the fellowship meeting at Brother Homer's. And I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And while I was sitting there, starting to have my little pity party, the Lord come by and told me, he said, you know who's preaching the fellowship meeting today? And it, oh, wow. Brother Ron Spencer's preaching in Alabama at Brother Homer's. And so when I went down there, I was telling Brother Ron after church, you know, that, you know, I was telling about that key. And he told me, he said, listen, he said, Brother Aaron, don't you worry. He said, you just believe. He said, I'll pray. Well, as of July the 23rd, this past July, the 23rd of July, I've been where I'm at right now for 10 years. Because, you know, there was people that come to me and said, how did you get in there to be able to take this, the maintenance assessment? How did you get the interview? He said, we've been here longer and we've had our resumes in. And we haven't heard anything. How did you hear? And I went in there and I told him, I said, it's not what you know. It's who you know. Because you know what? Every good, perfect thing comes from the Lord. And if you have a need, if you have a desire in your heart, then He's here to meet your desire. He said, but the problem is, we don't ask because we don't believe. You have not because you ask not. He said, you ask because you don't believe. But if we can just believe, let's all stand. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
are possible. Only believe. And Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe that all things are possible.
All things are possible, Lord, I receive, Lord, I receive, Lord, I receive, all things are possible. Lord, I receive. Oh, yes, only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. If you only believe. Only believe, all things are possible, only believe.
Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. You got, all righty, we're going to turn it over to Brother Wade now. God bless you tonight.
Amen. Good job. We have a change in personnel, but not a change in schedule. Brother Jason Jackson called me today, and he's having some issues in his church, so he will be staying home this coming weekend and won't be able to be here. But we're still having church Saturday night, 6 o'clock. Brother Luke Gibson will be here, and he'll be speaking for us. All right? He's just up the road about 50 miles, and we were fortunate to go visit him when Brother Jason was there a couple weeks ago. And I called him today, and he's definitely going to be here Saturday night. May be here Sunday. If not, I'll be here. So we're not going to change anything. We're going to keep it just like it is. 6 o'clock on Saturday. Get together with food. We'll go buy the chicken tenders and all, or nuggets or whatever more from Chick-fil-A. And everybody else just bring some kind of small finger food that we'll have afterwards. So just keep that in prayer. Brother Luke, I don't think he's ever been here to speak, and I've always wanted to get him here. And he's a good brother, and he's close in fellowship, and we sure appreciate him. And we are expecting a good time in the Lord. All things work together for good, right? Amen. Amen. That God knew this before the foundation of the world. I was surprised this morning, but God wasn't. So I just started praying and thinking. I thought, Lord, well, what can we do? And I thought about Brother Dutch Scott, but Brother Dutch maybe get here, maybe not. But Brother Luke said, I'm definitely coming. So if he's definitely coming, then we'll just let him speak. So we're just going to, like I said, change that. We're still 6 o'clock, still going to have food afterwards, still only have one service on Sunday morning. And Brother Luke will get back with me. He's probably trying to find somebody to preach for him Sunday. If not, I will be speaking Sunday. And then remember, next weekend, I'll be at Brother Richard Hyatt's, and Brother Luis and Brother Bob can thumb wrestle whoever preaches first, and then whoever preaches second. So if you speak Spanish, you should go first. You win. Y'all talk about it. But we got another brother coming later on in the month, and we sure is a new brother from Peru that Brother Luis knows, and he's going to be here the last Sunday of August. So just Keep Dad in prayer. He's going for MRI tomorrow. He has not been sleeping at night, so that means we have not been sleeping at night. So just pray that the Lord will come in the room, drive back whatever needs to be drove back, and he'll have a peaceful night's sleep, and we'll have a peaceful night's sleep. We're having to stay with him now pretty much every night, so Terrence and I and Anna are rotating around, and he just needs to some peace. We all need peace. So just pray for him, and he'll have an MRI tomorrow on his legs to see why he's dragging his feet, and then he'll be seeing his general doctor at 3 o'clock tomorrow. So let's pray that they'll have some wisdom and be able to give him a little something. They've tried several things, pills and all, not done any good at all. He just stays up all night and doesn't sleep, restless. So just remember him in prayer, because it's hard on him. He's 83 years old and he needs sleep. If I need sleep at 63, I know he's sleeping. He needs sleep at 83. So, and we all do too. Everybody else, Mom, pray for Mom too, because she's up with him and all, and she's a little frazzled sometimes. But we're holding strong. We appreciate your prayers and appreciate all the things you've done for us. Remember what we're doing for the sister downstairs, and make sure you take your items and look at that list. It's on WhatsApp, and see what we've got to get Sister Christine and her family. We sure appreciate them. Man, it took them all that time to get here, just to get to the United States. So let's make her feel welcome. Amen. Amen. And there was one other thing, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, remember Sister June. She's going to have her shoulder surgery on Monday. So she's having her other shoulder done. So we're going to get her fixed here pretty quick and get her where she's slept on the recliner for six and a half or 7 years. So, I mean, months. So seems like it. But we all go through this. We all get older, and we all have our issues. So just keep us in prayer. And remember all these ones that are not with us, Sister Frieda and all the different ones, Sister Johnny, we think about them all the time. Amen. And I want you to think about them. If you were in their position, they would want you to think of them in prayer. Amen. So let's think of them with special prayer every day. That they'll, like Brother Ron, I mean, he's standing there with stage 4 cancer, and we had almost a 5-hour service. Some of you ought to watch it online. Brother Joe said he watched it online. Mm-hmm. A man with stage 4 cancer taking 30 chemo pills a day, and as hard as he preached, and we had prayer line for almost 2 hours, hour and something, and he preached for an hour and something, and he just kept right on going.
That's right.
Stage 4.
That's right.
Stage 4 cancer. Brain, lungs. All that, you know, so that's what he's facing. But you know what? We serve a bigger God. We serve a God that's way bigger than any of that. Cancer's never scared God, not one second, not one split second. It's never bothered him one bit. But we want the devil to be bothered. Amen. So let's remember that. Be here at 6 o'clock on Saturday, and then we'll have one service on Sunday. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray, Lord, that we'll take what Brother Aaron said, Lord, into heart. Lord, and that we will see, Lord, who we are and what we're doing here and the things that we need, Lord, to open back the pages and just start reading the promises. Just read the will that you left us, Lord, and all the promises that you give us. And, Lord, if we need something, Lord, as we've always saw that quote where Brother Ram says, ask for big things. Just ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Father, just be with us now. Grant these requests that we've spoken, Lord, and may we have a good time this coming weekend with Brother Luke on Saturday and the service on Sunday, that you'll be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Be with Brother Jason Jackson. Whatever situation he had to stay home for this weekend, Lord, I pray that you would touch him, Lord, and give him supernatural wisdom to take care of the situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Every promise in